Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey, After Buzzers, I want to know, do you have any weekend plans? Do anything special this weekend? We'll find out when we recap episode 7 of Divorce.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, After Buzzers. Let's take a moment to jam out.
Little Captain and Tennille.
Yep. For our episode 7, this is our after show for Divorce on HBO. Welcome. I'm your host, Oriana Leo. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo or Instagram at Oriana Leo. And Constance, why don't you introduce yourself?
You can find me at Constance Dunn on Instagram and Twitter.
You can find me, Miriam Gonzalez, on Twitter as Miriam L. Gonzalez and on Instagram as Miriam G1.
This is Fern Ronay. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Ronay, R-O-N-A-Y. I just got the weekend joke.
So I thought that was actually pretty funny, is that, do you have plans for the weekend?
Right.
Is like the code for do you want to bang?
Yes.
Is that, yes.
Is that like the older version of that?
I mean, think this is up for discussion. I'm really curious.
It's their version of like Netflix and chill.
Yeah. Robert's putting himself out there, right? We see in this very first opening scene in a coffee shop like diner that he's having breakfast with prolific actress. What's her name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who do you guys know, this gal?
No, but she looks familiar and she's great.
She's prolific, and I should have written her name down. But she plays Kathy, the woman that he had this like supposed affair with, yes, or almost affair that mm-hmm. didn't happen because of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pretty disgusted by him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She calls it the loathsome incident that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
I love that little bite of information. The loathsome incident.
That she didn't even tell her therapist about. It was so shameful.
That didn't
That's
happen.
Bad.
That is really
At
bad.
At first, I thought she didn't tell her therapist because it was so insignificant. Like,
right.
I haven't seen you in 14 years. Get out of here.
Right.
But it was so bad she didn't. I replayed it, and I was like, oh. Okay.
So bad.
Right, right. And it's funny because they allude to the idea, she's like, he's like, you invited me to your hotel room, and she was basically indicating that it wasn't to have sex.
Right. But yeah, then what was so loathsome?
Well, I maybe really hope we find out.
Well, maybe because if they were bros and she thought he was a friend, because I'm sure it's happened to you before where you actually think someone likes you as a human entity and they're just waiting to have sex with you at any given time.
Well, there's definitely more to the story.
Yes.
Right?
Well, there's always that disconnect when you're friends with a guy and he thinks like, oh, I think I got this in the bag. And they say it best in When Harry Met Sally, men and women can't be friends because the sex thing gets
in
the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, you know, he or she, like, guys all of a sudden when they think they're like, oh my God, I think I'm in, they get weird.
Yeah.
So it's possible that Robert got weird with her and then she was starting to regret the choice of even inviting him to, like, hang out.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Because she thought people might have changed.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I like that. I wouldn't have thought of that, I don't think. That interpretation. I like it a lot.
Yeah, she probably got weirded out by it. Like, he probably got all like, you know? Like, guys get all goofy when they know they're about to get laid or they think they are, and then it's like, no, that's not happening.
And then they get upset.
Yeah.
And they blame you because you just wanted to be friends.
Yeah, right. But I think Robert was really just holding on to the idea that that was a possibility. Mm-hmm. And so, and we see that he's been doing this for years.
Well, doing what?
Holding on to the idea that that was a possibility.
Yes.
When it really wasn't, and we see that
like
in
it wasn't
direction.
Ever a possibility. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Yeah, she was like, no, you were in the friend zone.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. So he's really just, he's got a real deluded and distorted kind of vision or world, you know, version of his world.
Yeah.
We learn that, so now he's being, you know, emasculated and criticized even more, right? Another woman is, like, looking down on him of, like, oh, my God, I can't believe you would ever think that. But then we also see that he's really is, quite narcissistic that everything is about him because he goes to Starbucks.
Oh my God, great.
And has the scene with the barista where he essentially calls her, asks her what she's doing for the, if she has any weekend plans, which is apparently code. And she goes into detail about her plans and then with her boyfriend, that's now her fiance, and he completely loses it on her.
Mm-hmm.
He really, like,
he runs through examples of the time you did this and this and this, and they were really insignificant, and he was taking that as she liked him, but he was married.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, there's always that disconnect and miscommunication. Yes. When you're working in a customer service mm-hmm. industry mm-hmm. and then you build a rapport, whether you are working at a retail restaurant, Starbucks, whatever, e-commerce mm-hmm. platform, you build a rapport with people, and before you know it, you get a little comfortable.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, hey, sugar, how are you? And you have, like, little fun, little, mm-hmm. like, inside jokey things, but it's not anything serious.
Right.
You know, so the fact
that... Unless you're a man. Because yeah. they usually take that as a come on.
Exactly.
When and you're just being nice.
And mm-hmm. that's the thing. Her remembering what his coffee is and... I mean, nobody drops a dime on purpose.
No.
You drop a hundy on purpose.
Right. Because you want to give a guy a view. Like, no, that's not a dime. Any of us is going to pull.
No,
you know, like,
we're not doing the, what is it, the Reese Witherspoon?
The bend and snap.
The bend and snap.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that all the time.
It's amazing what's in his mind. I remember having a conversation years ago with a group of guys, and they were like, you asked for extra sprinkles at the yogurt shop. Like, you obviously like the guy serving you the yogurt. I'm like, no, I wanted extra sprinkles. I was just right. being nice, like, the way I asked. I wasn't flirting with him.
Right. Right.
Like, their perception of what's going on is you, so
like,
awesome.
I want sprinkles. Yes. Sprinkles are just sprinkles.
This is a very right. valuable episode because till I learned the ways of the world, I used to just be equal opportunity friendly. I worked retail mm-hmm. for many years. I'd be friendly to women, dudes, cats, kids, you know, I'm just going to be, it's like, I don't think about it, I'm just mm-hmm. being friendly. And I remember this one guy told me, he's like, Constance, if you are really nice and you speak to men, he's like, they're going to think you are interested in them. So I actually zippied my behavior, which kind of sucks,
yeah,
but it's,
no, it does suck, you know, that you can't be nice and friendly without guys assuming that mm-hmm. you're,
like, you want sex, right? Because that's what
just
I do
being
when
nice.
You talk
and
about
it's
the weather
at
in the
work
Starbucks.
Because it's so online. Hard at work because you can be in a bad situation where you need help from, I was constantly needing help from a male
right.
associate at a law
yeah,
firm.
Right.
And he thought, like, she's always asking me for, like, we have something more. No, I need help, and you're the only nice one who'll help me.
Oh. But this gives this is kind of a little example of how men and women, our brains are different, right?
Yes,
like,
completely.
You know, these guys are thinking that it's all about them, when really, they're there, but it may not be about them at all.
Exactly.
But this does happen, reverse, but in this specific case, we see it with Kathy, we see it with poor barista at Starbucks.
Yeah,
it does happen in the reverse, to be fair. Because many yeah. times I'm like, yes,
totally.
I've been the fool. We've all been there.
Yes.
Fact,
oh,
right?
Gosh, yes,
so
it
true.
Does, it does.
To
Sorry.
Be fair, to
guys,
be fair.
Guys,
to be fair.
Completely. But so Robert's getting this advice from his attorney, right? Which is like, he gives him like a stack of 10 cards of go, like, make yourself better. Like, get a haircut. Go to CrossFit. What else does he say? All
tanning.
Kinds of
support group.
Tanning, a support group. I thought that was amazing.
You guys, did you think it from a female perspective? Was that good advice?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That was good advice.
Great advice.
Guys, it was.
Yeah.
Right. It's all about self-care and, mm-hmm. and, you know, self-preservation. And so here he is. He's been out of the game. And we see that because he's like, I want to get back on the saddle again, but I'm having a hard time. And it's like, well, of course you're having a hard time. You look disheveled. Mm-hmm. You're batshit crazy. You're divulging all this weird information to random-ass people.
Right.
Like... Get it together.
Right.
Jinx, you owe me a coat.
Yeah. Corduroy blazers are a hard act. It's like flute rock.
And you notice
it's
how...
very rare that it's going to work.
You notice how wide the lapels are? Like,
oh,
the
God.
Jacket is so old.
Yeah.
You know? And like, boxy. And he goes to the department store.
It's from the time of Captain and Tennille.
It totally is. I love that when he's in the department store, and you know, he sees Dallas... And he immediately goes, I have to go deal with this. Like, as if there was a situation at all.
Right.
Which there wasn't at
right.
all.
He didn't have to deal with anything.
No. And he's so not nice to her.
Yeah. No. He
that
makes
was
her
a
cry.
Great exchange, though.
He was.
Well, it's the fact that she's friends with Francis and also one of the hardest friends on him out of her friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like calling the pot calling the kettle black.
Right.
Like... here you are preaching to me in my marriage. Mm-hmm. What's up with yours? You know what I mean? Like, here you are. And we've seen this. And we spoke with her graciously last week. Thank you.
Yeah.
Again. Mm-hmm. We see it time and time again where, like, you know, she's trying to put this energy or advice of what should have happened, she should have done, mm-hmm. onto Francis and mm-hmm. onto Robert mm-hmm. now, as we see that. You know, when she gets really, like, cheeky, like, oh, well, at least I tuck my kid in at night.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, last episode, we saw his girlfriend tucking in at night.
Well, Talia Balson, thank you again, for, like you said, for being on last show. And what a great performance. Just a small exchange, but mm-hmm. so powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Of her first thing of, like, oh, we're not estranged because I tuck him in at night. Like, she's trying to convince herself, mm-hmm. right, that her son wants anything to do with her. And that Robert can stoop so low in public mm-hmm. to anyone is beyond me.
Yeah.
Of where she just really comes to the edge there, or the brink of tears. Yeah. And he does pull back and apologize and yeah. say, I'm sorry. But I thought it was interesting that he said, I'm sorry, I'm just so lonely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because she responds with, welcome to the club, which I thought was a great, yeah. like, the perfect mm-hmm. line. I'm like, yeah, we're all going through this, buddy. Yep. Everyone has their mm-hmm. thing that they're yeah. battling at any That's given true. Moment. Like, but mm-hmm. also, how does being so lonely make you angrily outburst onto other people that might even care about you?
I feel like we say this on every podcast because it's, like, so true of every character. Yeah. Hurt people.
Yes.
And it's so true. This mm-hmm. is the perfect example of
Ooh,
the both
that
of
is
them.
Strong.
I'm
it's
writing this
true,
down.
Right? Of these two people giving each other digs yeah. until one of them gives the worst dig you can give.
Wow.
That one, what did he, I wrote it down, you will all, and then you'll be all alone, which was the worst thing you could say to Dallas, and then it just broke her, and
yes.
she was like, I'm not fighting anymore.
Yes.
And
wow.
Yeah, it was a great scene.
It was a great scene, and she did yeah. break and kind of, like, mm-hmm. she knows it.
Yeah.
She knows that she's totally unmoored. She doesn't yeah. have anything, mm-hmm. like, really, she doesn't have a man, but she also doesn't have an identity, because, mm-hmm. like, her son is growing up, and,
yeah.
you know, so it's like, if you're not mom, and you're not wife, then who are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
good
and she
point.
Just teared up. She didn't say anything, and not saying anything is the best thing sometimes.
But that's
Radio
also
silence.
Got him to be like.
But it's also not very like her. Like
right.
you know, it got to her because she clammed up.
Yeah. yeah. Well, Talia Balson, I think, always gives a very honest performance, mm-hmm. and this is again this show. The mood on this is always very touch and go. It's comedic. It's dramatic. So they're trying to dial in, and I would think as a performer, it's hard to get the right balance.
Mm-hmm.
And she always does a very honest, even when she's doing kind of funny scenes, like we saw when she's trying to cry on the phone, when she's in her office, she seems to deliver an honesty that's mm-hmm. not, like, hammy. She does a great job.
Watching the two of them, like, watching two, like, Olympic gold medalists.
Right,
like two
right.
actors going at it was great.
Those two are the only ones that could do the scene like this.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. yeah.
And because Thomas Hayden Church also is a bigger, he has that, you know, he has mm-hmm. quite a presence.
Yeah.
And she matches him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't swallow her up. So it really
Good
did.
Point.
Yeah, it really was a great scene. So I just kind of wanted to go through Robert as far as from his perspective, right? Like, he is out and about. He is getting advice on how to groom himself properly from his attorney, who recommends he keep the mustache.
He's going to grow
hilarious.
One with him.
I mean, I thought it was hilarious.
It's Movember for sure for them.
But ladies, does anybody here think he's Foxy, the attorney?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's
oh,
Foxy.
Oh, yeah, he's hot.
And
he's
I know.
Awful.
If he grew a mustache, I'm sorry, his name is Dean, right?
Yeah.
No, honey, no.
You
no.
don't think it would work?
No.
I think anything would work with that guy. He's got
no.
such vibrations.
Yeah, his vibrations are pretty good.
You don't want to date him. Hell, man, imagine if you were married to him, but he has got freaking...
Oh, no, he's
yeah.
sexy
yes.
AF.
Yeah. What's his name again? Let's call it's, HBO. Can we get him on?
The insurance guy.
Body Central.
All right, I digress. We all digress a little bit. Yeah, he's a total babe.
Which is confusing men who are watching this because you're going, all right, you guys are saying, like, you know,
yeah.
a jerk is hot. It's just a vibe thing. It's kind of like the sexy,
it's
crazy
power.
Girl
confidence.
On a show.
It's power
yeah.
and confidence,
yes.
for sure.
We don't want to be married to him. We just think he's got something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
So we see, you know, Robert trying this line everywhere he goes and realizing that, like, it's harder than it used to be. It does work on someone, though. Or actually, it gets done to him, right? Janice
mm-hmm, yeah.
from school, mm-hmm. who apparently does this all the time because it was Francis's first guess, right? So he has. So we see the sex scene, right? And all he can say is, you're so good. You're so good. You're really good.
Oh,
and she's like, yes, I am.
Well, that's because he's not used to getting laid
had sex
like
that.
Forever.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that him and Francis do it, it's like, banging a corpse, pretty much. So you know what I mean? It's like,
so I wasn't really paying attention to the timeline. Most of these episodes are pretty, you know, compact.
Yeah.
But did Robert have time to go do any of these manscaping things before that happened?
No.
He didn't,
I don't think
right?
So,
okay,
yeah.
I didn't think so either.
And I think those like all of the advice he was giving him is good advice at the right time.
Yeah.
I feel like it's too soon. Like they just
no, but that's why it's hilarious.
Oh yeah,
right. Here's 20 things to do right at once.
Right.
Yeah. Right, so that you don't look at my bill.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I feel like Robert's heartbroken. Like, you have to get over someone
yeah.
before you can
you
even
do.
Think about... Like, the you might be lonely, but, like, the loneliest thing is being with the wrong person and, like, being
well,
with Janice. And then he's, like, crying
everyone...
in the bathroom.
The best advice that I've ever heard is to get over to get over someone, get under someone new.
Right.
And that's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And that's the advice that the lawyer is giving him,
mm-hmm.
you know... Douchey Tony is like,
yeah.
get under somebody new. Get under
he
a
did,
lot of
literally.
Different somebodies.
Yeah.
But I feel
yeah.
like in his case, it didn't work because he's not, it's not the right time. It's
yeah.
too soon. He's got to be sad first.
Well, we see him transition, like,
longer.
Constantly with his ring, like,
yes.
I think I have a chance,
yeah.
and I
yeah.
take it on, and I take it off, and wait, maybe she'll do me this week. Maybe we can hang out this weekend.
Right. We see how he's pretty unmoored, too, you
yeah.
know? Like,
he's still devastated.
He's
it's
still
not
devastated.
The right time.
And
right.
he doesn't seem to know what he really wants, either, because, you know,
right.
he was the one that wanted the divorce, essentially,
mm-hmm.
or she wanted the divorce, but he said, once he found out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's here, he's gone all the way down. Dallas says, like, save your marriage. Everyone keeps saying this
wow.
to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
but he's lonely, and that's what's
yeah.
kind of a funny thing that probably a lot of guys, especially guys that have been married or in a relationship mm-hmm. for a long time, or anybody, but with men, it's just like, oh, go out and get laid. Well, no, he's actually lonely.
Yeah.
He's
mm-hmm.
used to having a woman in his life, and again,
yes.
I just because I've been in contact with someone who's going through a divorce, and they're a man, and when you've been married, when you're used to coming home and
mm-hmm.
crawling into bed with a woman, that is something that's a really... can be wonderful for
I'm
a guy.
Dealing with this. I'm divorced. I'm lonely.
Okay.
I'm not seeing anyone taking anyone. I'm single.
There's a difference,
but having no one around, right? Like, you have this emptiness. There's
Do
no
you?
One there to... Yeah, there's no one there to help. There's no one in bed. I mean, it's just you would
mm-hmm.
go from being, like, completely wed to with someone to just nothing. It's very
mm-hmm.
lonely.
I mean,
yeah.
on the... Down the road for him, on the upside... When he does get used to being alone, there's a good thing about being alone and being independent. There's
right.
a difference between being alone and being lonely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And so he's lonely because he's used to having a body around,
yeah.
but that doesn't mean that he wasn't alone then either.
That's
because
very
some
true.
Of my
right.
worst, best and worst relationships,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, we're sitting in the same room and I feel
mm-hmm.
more alone. You might as well not even
yeah.
be here.
He doesn't even know. Right, he's so
no.
not aware.
But he was so clueless, and they were both clueless, as we see as this episode
mm-hmm.
goes on.
Mm-hmm.
They were both clueless to how he was feeling. He was, you know, they were comfortable being uncomfortable together.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the worst thing you could possibly do. That's why people take risks in life.
Yeah.
And they go out and they invest in the stock market, or they buy, unfortunately for him, 9 homes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But we'll get into
that.
Well,
yeah, we will get into that. Really quick, you guys, you After Buzzers, I want you to know that this show is brought to you completely free by
mm-hmm.
all of us hosts here and After Buzz TV and our wonderful sponsors. And today's sponsor is MeUndies.
Mm.
MeUndies focuses solely on producing the most comfortable underwear you've ever experienced. And I'm sure when you're getting back out into the dating, you know, ring after being married or just having a relationship, it's important to be really confident, feel
mm-hmm.
really good about yourself. Try them on. If they aren't the most comfortable, best feeling undies you have ever had in your entire life, they'll refund you and let you keep your first pair for free. Sounds like a pretty good deal. Included in the price is a sweet touch of Modal, a special fabric made with best-in-class raw materials. Other words, they're going to feel great on your rear. So, for a limited time, everyone in my audience gets 20% off their first order. Our audience. Sorry, guys. But you have to go to our special URL, which is meundies.com/comfort, comfort, all capitals. With the MeUndies Better Day Guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So don't wait any longer. Go to MeUndies.com/comfort right now for your 20% off your first order, thanks to AfterBuzz. That's MeUndies.com/comfort. I hope everyone here has comfortable undies on as we make our little transition.
Well, you know, they also have, because I was just checking them out, and they actually have really cool lounge pants and jogger pants. So they have some other things, and they have hoodies and stuff as well. But for ladies, they have a very nice cheeky brief. And for men, they have a few different cuts, and they have like the short ones. They have the boxer briefs. They have a lot of different types. So it's a very compelling
Well, website. With a 20% off coupon, we should all try.
Let's
I don't know cheeky. How. I was gonna say, but how cheekies? Pants. I feel like never look good under anything.
What never looks good?
Cheeky undies,
the cheeky briefs. Like, if you will.
Depending on what you're wearing,
yeah.
You know, it all depends on how they sit.
I know.
So, like, I have a cute pair of cheeky undies, but they lay nice. They don't like cut into anything.
Oh, right.
So there's no VPL.
Right. Yes. I know. I have like a hideous VPL offender because I just don't look at myself. But go on.
No, I mean, pretty much that's it. But you know, it's all on how they lay.
Yes, yeah. It is.
You know what I mean? So if they lay nice. I'm all about the cheeky. Cheeky works great. Like, I have a thing, like, especially when I'm dating someone new, and it's, like, Sunday bed day, watching football and chilling.
Yes.
Tank top and cheeky.
Yes.
All day long.
That's a great uniform to have.
Me, undies, I am all about the cheeky. I'm
going to buy our uniform today.
Right? Let's get cheeky together.
Those jogger pants, though, are cool. I have to update my wardrobe a little bit. You can wear them out, and they're not like the yoga pants, so there's actually some room in the seat.
Nice.
And they look rather fashionable. So. Nice.
But since we haven't gotten any to try, we're going to carry on with the show.
Yes!
We see that Robert's, like, little... His little bubble is burst at the end of the episode when he goes and he wants to, like, show Francis what he's done. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I've done it. I am no longer... this is no longer a monogamous relationship or whatever he said on his end. And she just goes, you slept with someone. And it was Janice. Like, and how disappointing that was for him. That he felt like... He's like, I had no idea what you were doing. And yet you can just see it on me.
Mm-hmm. But when you know someone really well, you can read them like it's no one's business.
But why didn't he read her?
That's what he talked to her about. He's like, I had no idea. And I like how they have men showing feelings, because men do have feelings. This is usually the purvey of women. Yeah. They have them do. Mm-hmm. He talks about the intimacy of sex. And he talks about being inside a woman who was not his wife, who was not Francis. And he said, it was so intimate. He's like, how could you have done this 30, however many times with a man outside our marriage? Good question to ask.
Well, when you're disconnected... it's easy to do.
I mean, he felt the way he felt because he was in the situation he was in.
See,
like, he was on the other end going, I'm trying to have sex to try to forget about the situation. No. But she was like, I could do anything and he wouldn't see me or notice me or value me.
Oh,
right? Okay. And then she did it to get valued. So it's not really the same thing.
Hmm.
He's coming at it from the quarterbacking.
Well, and it's also the fact that he still is not ready to give up on the marriage, even though he's mad as hell. He is so mad, and you can't blame him. I mean, he just found out the crappiest thing
ever. I don't know. You would think he's not ready to get... I feel like he's not ready to give up the marriage as a possession, but
not
like he would work on it.
No, he hasn't been working on it to begin with.
Yeah.
Because if not, this would not have happened.
Yeah.
You know, so here he is. He doesn't want to let go. And the idea of, like you said, her being with somebody else. Well, you know what? You let go a long time ago, so she had no... Not that she did have a choice.
She did have a choice.
She did have a choice, but mentally...
Yeah.
Whoever there was no choice. It was like whoever...
whoever cheats first loses.
Well, unfortunately that is really common, that people will cheat instead of leave, right? Cheat and then almost like psychologically hope that they get caught... Or some things to get them out of a relationship they're unhappy with. Because otherwise, why don't you just leave?
Or they cheat and they have a marriage because they want their cake and eat it too. It's gross. It was a question I used to ask men all the time. Because I used to ask men that, like, they're like, oh, my buddy's like got this chick in the city. And I'd be like, dude, it's called a divorce. Or it's like, just be single and sassy and have a good old time all day. Or get married. Uno or the other. And they're like, he'd go, yeah, well, he wants his cake and eat it too. I'm like, la, 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 la.
Sounds like a great guy.
Well, we see that with Francis's parents, that the mother kind of hints to that being something that's happened within their marriage. And I'm guessing it's more than her than it was dad, or maybe vice versa.
You're right.
You know, so it does happen. Not to say that it's right or that I agree, just saying it happens.
But of course it happens, but I think it's more likely to happen in an unhappy relationship, yeah, right? If you have a happy relationship and you're screwing someone else, I'm like, you're really just a bad person, I think. But so let's kind of turn, let's kind of turn, steer the ship over to Frances, right?
Yes.
So this episode, we see Frances learning, finding out, not just, you know, she's already disappointed in Robert and the way he's behaved, but he's also essentially bankrupted them.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that she has been paying the mortgage for 8 years. He has completely overextended and overleveraged everything they have, and she had no idea. The betrayal, I'm sure, of that, of she left her city. I just imagine her being dragged from Sex in the City, Manhattan, right? Uh-huh. Like, I don't want... She being dragged back, doing it for the good of the family, only to find out that there's nothing. Now, let's, before we dig into this, we find out he was on Wall Street for 10 years.
Breadcrumbs.
So this is really riveting to me. Like, what? Did he make a lot of money? Was he good? Because he seemed, I'm starting to get this picture painted that, like, he might have just been a bro that accidentally might have done well. Like, accidentally did okay, accidentally got the girl, and now he's just, like, there wasn't maybe a lot that it was built on. I don't know.
Good point. I could see the bro scenario.
I could see that, too, because he does not seem sharp enough to, like, have majored in finance and worked in, like, worked his way up.
Well, he was probably the guy that worked on Wall Street that was kind of sucking at it, so he was dreaming of a whole new business.
Yeah. Right.
They're young. She sees, you know, Wall Street guy. He's got to have some business sense.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
But apparently, you know, I mean, he's like developmentally disabled. I mean, this is this is obviously extreme, right? This, like, this show is extreme, but the things that he has done in his business and the explanations that he has, that he really truly believes, that this property value is going to go up. He bought all the properties at the height of the market and let them. I mean, so every choice he's made has been a bad one.
And the way he even speaks when he has business conversations is just indicates someone who has no business experience.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I could picture them being like, we're going to leave the city. You're going to have your gallery. I'm going to be my own boss.
Right.
Which seems like that would be something that he would want.
Right.
And to think, like, where they are now, and she feels so cheated, even though, you know, she was the cheater technically, but now she feels cheated, which she said, made that suspicious comment at the end.
Right.
That, yeah, now, like, look what I've done for 8 years and what you've done.
So this brings up a whole nother point, and it's financial, what would you call it, infidelity. Because they say that financial infidelity or finances in general, but it's usually something like this, is a much bigger cause of divorce than sexual infidelity.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the kind of long and systemic lying and hiding and, like, fraud, like she said, that has to be committed. That involves the whole family.
I'm just going to say, like, the consequences. The consequences of being cheated on is, okay, you've been made a fool of, whatever, there's trust issues, but the consequences of finances are, you know, your self-preservation. Like, how are we going to survive now after what you've done?
Right. So we have this scene with, you know, we see Frances getting the news in the attorney's office of, like, you're the primary wage earner, you're responsible for all of this, sorry. And she says, well, he must be hiding money, right? Somewhere, right? And, like, we're like, oh, if only he were that smart, right? Like, how did you get this far and think that... And it really goes to show how little she knows about him and his business and, like, how they don't communicate.
Exactly. Well, how have they never... How have they never talked about this before? It's amazing.
But it's common.
No, and it is. And that's the thing. Like, you have someone... They made a big life change going to where they live now. For him to buy 9 homes and behind her back, want a fun space too. And you know, it's the fact that her life completely changed. She was the breadwinner, so she was working. She's also mom. She's making school lunches. Mm-hmm. She's sitting there. She's throwing them on the bus. She's giving them kisses. She's, you know, doing PTA meetings and stuff like that. She's overextended. You would hope. In a situation like that, you want to trust your husband's not doing something shady. And it does happen all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a friend of mine who, her husband was buying things behind her back and hiding them.
Ew.
Like, what things?
Women do this
time. They're older. So, like, Lionel Trains, which are collector's items. What was the big red flag is he came home with, like, a John Deere riding lawnmower. And she's like, what the hell is that? had he not bought that, she wouldn't have found all the other stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Weird. But women do this where they spend money on fashion and they, like, hide it, and then bring it out, like, one piece at a time.
I've had these shoes forever.
Forever.
Like, I got this from the thrift shop, or one of my friends was cleaning out her closet.
I actually did that for a friend.
But I think it does just point to the fact of, like, why can we not be honest? Why do we have shame over... Well, probably because we're doing something wrong, right? If we're doing something that our spouse wouldn't want us to do, so we have to hide it from them.
Well, we want to feel like we are independent enough to make decisions without having to ask mommy or daddy for permission. I work hard... I feel like I deserve this. Why do I have to go and have a conversation with my significant other?
It's adulting. That's what marriages are.
And that's the thing. You know, and I mean, this is a totally different thing. We can go on for days with it. But, like, when couples come together, there has to be, this is us, and this is you, and this is me.
Yeah.
And from you, you spend on you. And from me, I spend on me. But what's happening with us? That stays with us.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more, but finances, I mean, I wish that financial counseling was a part of, like, it's so easy to get married and so hard to get divorced, right?
Yeah.
And they don't just, in the church, they would have you do all this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that you can just go down to the courthouse and wed yourself to someone that you may not know at all, and they don't even require you to know how to talk about money or anything. It's
crazy. You could lose half of everything.
You can lose half of everything
in that moment.
In
bankrupt, yep. too. Yeah. One of my friends, their sister, the guy had just basically was using her social security number and started all these lines of credit.
Oh my
And
God.
She had no idea, and he like left her for another girl.
Word
too.
Otherwise,
so he bankrupted
always
her.
Pull a
and,
background check.
Right.
And sign a prenup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Protect
it's extraordinary.
Yourself.
So it's like, it makes me say, and I am happily married, but it makes me go, why would anyone get married?
Well, honestly, that's where I'm at, because I would love to, obviously, to have a life partner, you know, and that's why I got married in the first place. But when you look at all of it, where it's like, oh my God, the amount of effort that has to go into being sure if I want to be contractually obligated to someone for life is like, it's just a lot. And if you don't come from a family of means or have understanding of the legal system and assets, and like, how would you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's
right?
Why I will forever be a golden girl. So I'm looking for my four bitches that we can grow together.
I have a sister wife
you know
thing
what I mean?
Going on. Yeah, I totally
like,
know.
Like, you know, it's just easier. But, you know, Robert obviously is not really good with his money. And we see that. And it's so sad and it's so disappointing and hurtful for Frances to the point where, like, I love how she goes onto the property and, like, breaks a $3,500 window and then tries to turn the hose on in
and
the
then,
house.
Well, first, the water is not on.
Right.
So, she would just be screwing herself.
Exactly.
I'm so glad that water. I was like, don't do that.
Exactly. Like,
she
how
would
does
be.
This help you?
He would be
ultimately.
More over budget.
Which is why it's also absurd, right?
Absurd.
Like, if when you hurt the other person, you're really just hurting yourself.
No.
Completely.
And you know what? Karma's a bitch. And it's one of those things, like, you think about to do crazy things to someone that has hurt you. Mm-hmm. But in the end, is it really worth it? No, because then it's tit for tat the whole time. Uh-huh. So I'm glad the water didn't turn on either.
But, you know, we have that moment in the bar where Frances is just losing it. And she's, you know, screaming at him, shouting at him, trying to get him to understand. Like, you just, like, I paid the mortgage for 8 years and you didn't do anything. And now here we are. And she even says things like, I wish I'd done this sooner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been all about your wants. But what about my wants? What about the kids' wants? Like, everything's been put on the back burner for you. So this isn't just, like, this happened. This, like, their entire world shifted to support him and his desires. And she said, you gambled your kids' future away.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was powerful.
Mm-hmm. And it's utterly vexing how she cannot get blood from a stone. She's sitting there very, very upset. And you're just sitting there right with her because you could feel it, you know, exactly what he did.
And there's just
and
nothing.
He's just being very flippant and like, well, for one thing, that's ROI, return on investment. He's being ridiculous. I'm pro him.
Does he even get it? Like, he just doesn't seem like he understands what he's
delusional.
Done.
He's delusional.
He is.
He's absolutely delusional. He still thinks that there's some chance in hell that his investments are going
to
pay off.
Well, he says we're one deal away. And I'm like, yeah, but that's denial. Like, you still have to pay the bills, which clearly, like, there's still a level of, you know, of responsibility, which he doesn't seem to have.
Right.
Which is really unattractive.
Yeah.
Big time.
So as we go through the episode and we see Frances's poor attorney, Max, who seems to have suffered a mini-stroke.
Major
denial.
Also major denial. And here we have a theme, too, of men in denial because of, like, you know, once their power is taken away, what do they have, right? And so everyone's looking at Max and kind of like, this is disconcerting. From a legal perspective, does he have to, if he had the stroke since he took on Francis, doesn't he have to disclose that in some way?
I don't know. I honestly don't know, but I would think that he would have to, have some disclosure or some, ethical responsibility to have another attorney helping on the case to manage him, you would think.
Yeah. Just because she finds out, she notices his odd behavior, and that might be why.
Right in that first meeting, I would have been like, can we get another associate to perhaps
help you with the workload? She's very, passive, but she's overly polite. And again, we're talking about themes. Mm-hmm. The themes are like the people that you look to for authority and for reliance upon being able to help you in difficult times. And look at, they're all falling flat. The husband, the big, moneyed attorney. It's a cautionary tale, listeners, to always just to try to have a little information about certain areas. Of course, you can't be your own attorney, but just keeping your eye on what's happening in your life, things that are going to affect you, right?
Absolutely. Anything else that we might want to cover from this episode?
Oh, the comedy with Max.
Yes.
So Max does some great physical comedy. If you did see those little scenes in his office, he does a great job with the twining of the kind of tragic drama and the comedy. So they struck a really good tone there.
They did, and there was a point where I feel like when they were in mediation with the two with Hottie Toddy.
Yeah.
Hello, how you doing? when you have Hottie Toddy and him, and then his stroke situation is like becoming apparent.
Yeah,
in that meeting, I mean, he's like accordioning the file upside down.
It is pretty funny. I mean, it's awful, but it's funny. I feel like a bad person for laughing. Well, but he says
one point when he's walking out, he's like, "You know what? I'm playing on this." Mm-hmm. And she seemed ecstatic about that, which, sometimes you got to play on
your weaknesses.
Yes.
100%, except for when he then mistakes the office for the elevator bay. Again. What would you guys do in this situation?
Mm. Oh, I would be like, Max, you're lovely. I think this might be too much work for you. Mm-hmm. Can we get an associate to help out? And then I would talk to the other partners and be like, I don't want him to, blatantly, I don't want him to screw up my divorce.
Right? Yeah. I mean, this is her life.
This is her, exactly. Women do it a lot with doctors, too. Like, you'll just take whatever they say because you don't want to hurt their feelings and ask for a second opinion.
Right.
No, this is your life.
Right.
Exactly. Yes. And doctors, lawyers, any professional, it's okay.
Yeah, they expect it.
It's encouraged.
Yeah, it is encouraged.
It is encouraged.
Yeah.
Second opinions are really important. And, to have this guy who may or may not be gambling her life away based on his medical situation, like, that's scary. Mm-hmm. Especially because now they truly don't have a pot to piss in.
Yeah.
Like, he has spent all of their money. And I love how she says at one point to Robert, she's like, "You bought a house that was part of a homicide."
Yes, and he goes, but he's still going to trial and he might be acquitted, allegedly.
Allegedly?
What is that?
And he goes, "But I paid near nothing." And she's like, "Well, it's worth nothing, so you overpaid." Great writing. Great writing.
Well, it's funny because we also see Francis in her gallery, so there's some headway.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yes. We didn't get to that. So we do see a little tiny piece, right?
The Boneyard for Businesses?
Yes.
Oh, she is some friend.
Yeah. Cheyenne cuts, but, she cuts because she's not being sensitive, but she essentially is like, "Oh yeah, you need to get in on that. You need to rein him in for the fun space. And it just salt in the wound that she didn't know what she didn't know. What do you do when your husband is like, everything's great and goes off to work every day and there's not a single sign that anything could be wrong, and that here he is out just spending like crazy?
Communication really is everything. How he didn't speak to her about all of his, what's going on in your business? That's where you spend most of your day. That's what you've got to flesh out with somebody. You talk to your spouse.
Well, and the fact that, he doesn't have a business partner, really, and she doesn't have a business partner, and they're not really partners with each other either.
Yeah.
And they're both, just sort of going through life, asleep at the wheel. And it's why are you not having an authentic relationship with someone that can help keep you moored, connected, right?
I think part of it is the fact that he doesn't want to feel emasculated. Now, as we step back and look at the big picture, she's been the breadwinner, and that's an emasculating thing. She's been supporting his dream, and you know, based on their interaction, every time they walk past each other and they flip each other off, you know, like, there's been this resentment thing that's been going on a long time. And so he's probably felt in his mind he needs to prove himself that he's got this under control. So for him to go and communicate with her, no, I'm good.
He's doubling down.
We're good.
Right. He's doubling down on point. Bad, though.
Yeah,
which happens a lot.
Exactly.
I can tell you, I've seen it personally myself as well. Like, everything's going wrong, and this is your chance to fix it, but instead you're going to double down on all the things that got you to this place, therefore completely sabotaging everything, which is pretty what it looks like he's done, right? Now, does anyone have any news and gossip? You know I do.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Well, after Buzzers, I went and had, well, I ended up having breakfast with Robert Forster, who plays Francis's father in the last episode. He is such an amazing actor. It was an absolute pleasure, but he's going to be coming on to our show for the season finale. Very exciting.
Yes.
He gave me some amazing advice, great sort of acting and start of your career advice that I would love to share, but I think he's going to have to share it with us when he comes, so I don't want to steal his thunder.
Very interesting actor.
But he was great, and it was funny because he's not online. He's an older gentleman. He's like, how's everyone liking it? Like, how's everyone liking the show? And I explained to him, I'm like, it's kind of split. It's kind of 50-50, and we had a really great conversation about it. But it was great because I see him at my neighborhood breakfast place all the time, and I've never actually stopped to speak with him. We say hi, but... So it was really nice, and he ended up paying for my breakfast and giving me a gift, and, it was ridiculous, yeah.
So sweet.
Really, really nice human.
Nice.
It's wonderful when we meet these people and find out they're real, really nice humans.
Yes, he has a great story, so I hope you guys do join us. That will be Monday, December 12th. That will be the finale.
Thank you very much.
That will be our finale.
Any other news and gossip that anyone saw?
Just still loving Sarah Jessica Parker's look, her styling in this, and I like how her hair looks, and I like how they're afraid to stick her in the sun and
have
that face with all the character in it.
We just need her hair moving, right?
Her hair.
Somebody find out how they're doing that. Yeah. It's always the stylist. I hate that. You can't ever do it with your own hands.
Right?
Yeah. But did you guys see scenes from the next for our predictions?
They always get cut off for me.
Oh.
Let's get into predictions.
Yeah.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
And so it is.
So I saw the preview for the next one, and it looks like it's going to get nasty between Julian and Robert, and it looks like Robert has taken some of the advice that his attorney has given him, and he might be a little tanner.
Okay.
As long as he's not orange, we're good.
Right. So my predictions are that, Robert's going to get even more emboldened when he shouldn't be, right? Of, he's back in town, he's the man, and he's, right? When really, it's going to be embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. I predict, and that's so funny that Julian, good old Julian's still hanging around. So I have a feeling he is going to go outer limits, too, as well, Robert, just to upgrade and update his look with one of those Euro slim cut suits.
I think, you know, as his character is dealing with the situation and evolving, or therefore lack of evolving, the music is really pairing well with that mentality and attitude of, you know, that 70s pimp style. I'm back. You know what I mean? But it's going to be interesting to see how he carries forward, because we know that with Julian already was having a problem with the constant contact.
Right.
So to see their interaction, how it's going to go down, and how this is going to affect Francis in the long run.
Well, hopefully he does, he commits an assault against Julian, because then she can use it in the divorce, right?
No, oh,
I was just thinking,
no, not really, because then it could be well, that was deserved, although I'm not the attorney.
Yeah, no fault states, it doesn't matter who does what. Yeah.
Whoever gets first.
I don't have any predictions. I'm just enjoying, I can't believe how, from episode one to now, how much we've gotten to know them.
Yes.
And it just, sometimes you just got to stick with it, and I am loving it now.
I'm absolutely loving it, too, and I feel the same way, where I'm like, oh my god, we're on seven, and there's only three left.
Yes.
Like, I'm getting sad already.
I don't think they're going to get divorced. That's my prediction.
Oh, okay.
It's too hard.
They don't have enough money to get divorced, I bet.
Yes.
Oh my gosh,
it's too hard. First of all, he doesn't want to let go, and we see that with the ring on, the ring off, the ring on, the ring off. He doesn't want to let go, and the fact that he has put them in such financial debt, it will be harder and worse to get divorced. Mm-hmm. And it, we see that when she's talking to the attorney and she's like, should we just liquidate everything right. and split it in half? And he's like, that's the worst thing you can do.
And they really may end up, this may be the perfect, you know, way to end the show, is that they want to get divorced and they can't, because they can't afford it because of what he did.
It would be very modern. And it would. Last week you spoke about how, I think you were saying, in England it's much more difficult, so you'll have people for many years stay technically married but live separate lives, and that is not uncommon in the States either. I don't know how.
Because of taxes and financial
because
reasons.
Of what we're dealing with right now, this whole lawyer thing that you're dealing with, that we're seeing on the show, divorce.
It does happen where you just estrange from your spouse rather than get a divorce.
Right.
That's something we might have to talk about on our next
just
episode.
Just live separately. But it's time to... I've known people that have done
that. Well, to each his own, right?
Right.
But that's all the time we have today for Divorce on HBO. This has been episode 7. And I'm signing off. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo or Instagram at Oriana Leo. And let the panel sign off, too.
Find me at Constance Dunn on Instagram or Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at Miriam L. Gonzalez or on Instagram at MiriamG1. And just to quote Robert, act cash and get badge.
Yes.
Love it. This is Fern Roné. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Roné. My first novel, Better in the Morning, is available in whatever format you like. Paperback, Kindle, I describe it as Sex and the City meets Ghost.
So get it. And we'll see you next time.
Yes.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.